listening to The Big Show with George Russick.
Oh, I want that in my mouth.
The mouth isn't working today.
And Matty Rose.
Someone with my complexure.
Yeah.
Complexion.
Complexure. Complexure.
On Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hour number two. It's The Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by mortgagestogo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit mortgagestogo.ca. Later on in the program, our intern, Gregor, he's new today. His first day on the show, so we get him to work right away. In the 8:30 hour, he's going to do his 30 seconds on getting Maddie excited for the 2024 Paris Olympics, which is 88 days away, because we have Donovan Bailey coming in studio tomorrow. So our intern, Gregor, is going to get Maddie excited for the Olympics, the Summer Games. I'm going to do that later in the program.
Hopefully he can.
There's a lot to be excited about.
I'm sure.
There is a lot.
I bet.
I'm always excited to talk to our next guest. That's a transition. He is the voice of the Blue Jays on Sportsnet on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. We say good morning to Mr. Dan Schulman. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're good. We had this little discussion, and again, I'm going to pump your tires. I think you're the best play-by-play voice in North America, and I don't think it's particularly close. Who is your top five play-by-play voices in North American sports right now, Dan?
Well, first of all, thank you. That is beyond kind. Top five. I would say Mike Breen, NBA. Mm. Love Mike Breen.
Bang! Sorry.
Yes.
Couldn't help myself.
Kevin Harlan. I love Kevin. Football and basketball. Ian Eagle. Mm. Same thing. Football and basketball. I love him. Maybe I'll go off the board a little bit here. I'll do some local guys maybe. So sure. I think the Cleveland Guardians radio baseball guy, Tom Hamilton, is incredible. Phenomenal. Like I could listen to him do a triple header in a day and happily do that. I think he's absolutely fantastic. And I'll stick with baseball. I think Dwayne Kuiper and Mike Kruko do a phenomenal job for the Giants on TV. So, I mean, there are so many, and it's funny. I've been, you know, I'm not a young man anymore. I've been doing this a long time, but I still listen to other guys and go, wow, that was amazing. I wish I could think of something like that, or I wish I had said that in that way. And I like to think that it's a craft that you still try to get better at no matter how long you've been in it. And there are so many good people doing games around around North America.
I want to get your opinion on this. I always equate broadcasting to golf. You can never perfect it.
100%. Absolutely 100%, especially in baseball. Baseball is going to get you sometimes because stuff happens in baseball that doesn't happen. Like I don't ever remember in basketball having like confusion or something. What's going on? You know, that doesn't happen. Baseball will do that. But even beyond the sport that you cover, you're right. You can never perfect it. And sometimes we'll joke, like it could be me or Buck or Siddle or anybody, whatever. It's usually me when I make the joke. But you know, a little slip up or something, and I'll say on TalkBack, there goes the chance at a perfect broadcast. Yeah. And the joke is there is no such thing as a perfect broadcast. And it's 3 hours live without a script or a do over button or anything like that, and stuff happens. But I've never felt complacent about, oh, I know how to do this, or I've done everything. You always keep learning. I'll go back, not every game, but I bet you twice a week I'll go back and listen to just like a 3-4 minute segment. I might drive home from the game saying, I wonder how that sounded. And I'll get home and, turn on whatever it is, Jason 30, or pop open the MLB app and that was a little different than I thought it sounded coming out. So, you're always trying to learn, and the craft is evolving too, right? I mean, 25 years ago, I didn't sit there doing a game with FanGraphs and Baseball Reference and Baseball Savant and MLB Research Open. I didn't have a computer on my desk. I had game notes from two teams and a scorebook. That's it. So the job has changed too. Just like your jobs have and everybody's jobs have, everything keeps changing. So, the older you get, maybe the harder you have to work at trying to keep up with all the new stuff.
What did Bob Cole mean to you?
Bob Cole was the guy I watched on Saturday night. I mean, as a kid, more than now, but I was unabashedly the biggest Leaf fan in the world that I knew anyways. Like, I was born in 67, so my Leaf fandom kind of started around 73, 74, as far as I can remember anyway. So I was right in the heart of Sittler, McDonald, Thompson, Salming, Turnbull, Palmateer, the whole gang, right? That was really good, but not quite good enough. And to me, Saturday night meant Hockey Night in Canada and Bob Cole. And I'm sure he didn't do every Leaf game, but boy, it seems like the Leafs played at home every Saturday night when I was a kid. I'm sure they didn't, but it sure seemed that way. And Bob Cole, it was like me, my dad, and Bob Cole. That was my Saturday night, you know? And, yeah, 70s and 80s and into the early 90s, you know, he was, I mean, he was a part of those Gilmore Andrechuk teams right in the early 90s too. And, you know, Wendell laying people out and all that. So he was fantastic. He made, everything sound exciting. Everything. I never, ever turned on a game and said to myself, boy, Bob sounds a little tired tonight, or Bob doesn't sound interested tonight. Never. I equated his voice with excitement, and he was great at what he did. And, you know, he was unique too. Like, it wasn't like there were 10 other guys who sounded like Bob Cole. You knew it was Bob Cole when you turned on a game, and you know, he was a national treasure.
He knew how to use the crowd noise to the best way possible. And in Friday's game against the Dodgers, the crowd was certainly involved. What did you make of this series against LA and how the crowd was interacting with Shohei Ohtani?
I wasn't surprised. I mean, if you watch the games, you know that Buck and I didn't dwell on it. We mentioned it once or twice. What happened was what we thought it would happen. And you know, these are Blue Jay fans who felt spurned or leveraged or used, or whatever word you want to use. And it wasn't everybody. I don't know if it was 30%, 40%, 50%. I don't know. But it was pretty much what I expected. You know, they wanted him here. And I guess they felt like he leveraged the Blue Jays to get the best deal out of the Dodgers. And they the one thing that surprised me was they kind of kept it up through Sunday a little bit more than I thought they would. But it's just them saying to him, hey, man, we're ticked off at you. You should have come here. You know, Buck said it on the air. He said it's called negotiating. And this is what you do when you're a free agent. It's just obviously people here would take it personally, just as I'm sure Giants fans have too, because they apparently were the other finalist or semifinalist for Shohei Ohtani. So I don't want to not give you as good of an answer as you're hoping, but if you watch the games, you saw we didn't dwell on it for too long. You know, when they're we were talking more about the stuff on the field, because until yesterday the Jays were really they were in the soup pretty good, man. So you know, fortunately they found a way to win the game yesterday, and maybe that'll kickstart them going forward.
Yeah, what did you see in those first couple of losses? Kikuchi and Bassett both have been pretty solid for the most part this season, but that's just it's a loaded lineup for that Dodgers team, and got a little bit banged up early on.
Yeah, I thought Kikuchi actually pitched well, to be honest with you. I mean, again, like you said, until yesterday, the Dodgers were just raking. Bassett didn't locate well, and if Bassett doesn't locate well, he's going to get hurt, because he's going to get hit, because he's not overpowering. I thought Kikuchi was closer to his best than Bassett was to his best. I thought Yusei pitched okay. And, you know, he gave up runs early, but then he got through six innings. I think he didn't give anything up the last three innings of his outing, if I'm not mistaken. And he gave the team a chance to get back in the game. It's just they aren't hitting at all. So, you know, Friday night was a wipeout in every respect. Saturday, they kind of scratched and clawed and got the tying run to the plate in the ninth inning, but couldn't get the big hit. And then yesterday, Gausman was great, you know, which was very nice to see, because obviously he's kind of still been building back up, and this was his best outing of the season. It was nice to see Kirk get some hits. But listen, the Dodgers are the Dodgers. There's a difference between these two teams right now. There's a difference in talent right now, and a difference in how their most talented players are performing right now. Maybe that's the most obvious. Like, you know, Ohtani and Betts are playing at an incredibly high level, and Freeman and Will Smith and Teoscar Hernandez are performing at a high level right now. So, you know, the Blue Jays need more of their guys to perform if not at their highest level, at least at their kind of typical level if they're going to start winning more games.
Dan, how frustrating is it to see this team run the bases? Because it's just seemingly a problem season after season that these guys aren't doing it like they should at the major league level.
Well, I'll push back a little bit here. I assume you're talking about Vladdy getting picked off.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Well, again, like, but there's been instances even in the playoff game where they're making boneheaded moves on the base pass. And I know Kevin Barker from Blair and Barker fame, he keeps talking about how this team doesn't run bases well. Like, it just seems like it's just those mental mistakes continually keep piling up for this team.
I don't think they have this year, to be honest with you. Honestly, I'm trying to think of it. I mean, Vladdy got picked, you know, so initially I thought you were asking just about this year. So last year's a whole different story. They were bad last year. Bad, bad, bad. This year, Vladdy got picked off a couple of days ago. Bo Bichette had one several days ago where he had one of those big, huge hopping leads trying to steal second, and the pitcher didn't step off. And instead of breaking it down, like packing it in and going back, he kept going. And then somebody hollered at the pitcher and he stepped off and he threw him out. Those are two I'm thinking of. But, Varsho, Kiermaier, Clement, Kiner Falefa, Springer. I think these guys are doing, to be honest with you, I think the base running has been good this year. Maybe not great, but I think it's been good. I mean, the biggest problem is the hitting, but I don't remember many base running issues. Everything Vladdy does is amplified.
Well, I was about to say that. Is it because it was Vlad Jr. and he's frustrating all of us right now?
I believe so. Vogelback had one earlier, but this is, it's Daniel Vogelback, right? This is what he's there to hit homers. So, yes, everything with Vladdy is amplified 100%. And when he got picked off, everybody thought of Minnesota last year in the playoff game. So, but honestly, overall, I haven't looked up, and I'll do it when we get off. There are ways of measuring these kind of things. You know, Fangraph does it, has a team base running statistic, and I haven't looked at it, but, I think the base running's been fine this year. I just think they got a hit. They haven't scored more than 5 runs in 20 consecutive games, and I think they're 27th out of 30 teams in runs per game. Like, that's what's got to change.
I know you got to run really quickly. Is it time to move Vlad down the lineup?
So John Schneider's been asked that probably 3 times in the last 5 days, and he keeps saying no. He says they're going to pitch him the same way, and for them to be good, the guys who are supposed to hit have to hit. I think it's getting close to consider. Like, there are 3 things you can do. You can call guys up from the minors. You can tinker with the playing time, and that's starting to happen a little bit. Like, Varsho wasn't a full-time guy, and now he is. Mm-hmm. Schneider was kind of a twice a week, and now he's a little bit more than that. So we're seeing some changes, and then you can change the lineup. I don't think I would do anything drastic, but I would just flip Turner up to third, and I think I'd go Bo 2, Turner 3, Vladdy 4. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea if it would work. But the top 3, it's just not working. So often it's 1-2-3 in the first inning, and Turner doesn't even get up. And right now, Turner's their best hitter. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see him up a little bit higher and have, maybe Vladdy in the 4 spot, and I think eventually, if it stays like this, they will change something within the next week or 2, but I don't think it's going to be drastic. Like, I don't think we're going to see Varsho 4, Jansen 5, Vladdy 6, if that's what you're getting at. I don't think we would see that. But I would make some changes within the top 4, and, to me that means moving Justin Turner up to the 3 spot. I want to see him get up in the first inning.
Dan Schulman, the play-by-play voice of the Blue Jays for Sportsnet. Dan, always terrific. Thanks for your time this morning.
All right, guys. Have a great day. Thanks.
There he is on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. There you go. He also gave us his top 5 broadcasters. Not surprising. Kevin Harland, one of my favorites, too. When he called the guy running on the field drunk, the guy is drunk.
The guy is drunk.
I have that.
That was a... I was opping that game, actually, here.
Monday Night Football?
2016?
Yeah, it was Monday Night Football. With Kurt Warner. Really good.
September 30th.
3rd and 4, looks into the nickel of San Francisco in the secondary. Hey, somebody has run out on the field.
some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
that
man.
Look out. Here comes the blue coat, Kevin.
Oh, they got him.
Here comes
the blue
coat.
They're coming from the left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line. Oh, that was the most exciting thing to happen tonight.
I tell you what, that was a great call on your part. That was a great call. All right, I'm ready for the last 11:31 now, Kevin. Let's go.
Look at the police. They've surrounded this man like he is... like he's just robbed a bank.
I tell you what, he got a whole lap in.
He did,
before
yes.
they got him. I mean, that was... That was pretty good. I expected him to go down much sooner.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Great stuff by Kevin Harlan.
I believe that was the Thursday nighter between the Bengals and Dolphins.
Oh, it was a Thursday nighter.
Yeah.
It wasn't a Monday night.
No,
no, it was a
primetime
game.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was Bengals up. Bengals won 22-7.
I was
22-7. Who day?
Again, you should never run out into the field. Like, no, you get banned, no. You get a fine. Don't do that.
Yo, you get clobbered.
Oh, yeah.
At this point, security guards are itching for it.
Yeah. But then, like, and then they'll sue the security guards because they hurt them. It's like, what are we doing here as a society?
Enjoy winning that.
What are we doing?
In that case. You could also get sued for trespassing. Yep. So
I did I remember covering a Blue Jay game, and some dude just, it's easy. Well, it used to be really easy at Rogers Center just to jump on the field because it was right there. So a dude jumps on the field, evades security. He's running around. He tried to scale the center field wall, and he almost did until they pulled him back. But I'm like, where were you going to go after that? Like, you think you were going to get out of the stadium? But it was awesome. He tried to Spider-Man the center field wall. And I'm like, oh, is he going to? No.
Like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, just hop in a manhole and see you later.
Pretty much. Much like the guy, the naked guy who fell unconscious here at Calgary when Team Canada was playing.
Little slip.
That's the
little
best.
Little slip.
Like,
that's a long drop from the top of the glass.
Yeah, that's one thing your buddies will never let you forget about.
Hey, I think you'd have to get new buddies, honestly. And your horn was laying there on the ice for all to see.
Do you remember that?
Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of those things where you should get into witness protection program. New name, new life, new you, right? Were you that guy? No.
Do you think he gets invited out anymore? They're like, hey, you were going out tonight. You want to invite Ralph? And you're like,
we all make mistakes.
Ralph tends to get banged up and take all of his clothes off.
But why naked?
I don't know.
Yeah, just alcohol, probably. Heroin beers that are
the
dope.
Probably the reason,
Oh, well. Hey, I sent out a poll question yesterday.
Oh, yeah, did you?
Watching the Jets and Avalanche game.
A little hockey for you?
So I want to go around the room. We'll do the poll live here on the show. We'll go around the room.
Uh-huh.
And then I also want to discuss a lot of things I've seen on social media within the last 48 hours about potential trades.
Oh, okay.
We're going to do that straight ahead. 8 o'clock, Luke Gastic. Former National Hockey Leaguer, NHL on Sportsnet analyst will join us, the Mitzoff podcast. He'll talk about all the series because the Oilers can play any way they want to because they just want to score one goal. We'll talk to them. We'll talk to Luke at 8 o'clock. And then at 8:30, our intern Gregor is crafting together in honor of Donovan Bailey coming on the show tomorrow. All week, he's going to have 30 seconds to get Matt Rose excited for the Paris 2024 Olympic Summer Games, which is just 88 days away. Eric Lindros days away. William Nylander days away. Andrew Mangiapane days away. That's where he's at. And he's going to get you excited. Because if there's one thing we like to do on this show is put interns to work.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
They just can't sit here and observe. No. Or like our man Raz, who fell asleep for 45 minutes.
Never forget.
Who's been worse in the playoffs next? It's The Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. It's The Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by mortgagestogo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit mortgagestogo.ca. Top of the hour, Luke Gazdick. NHL on Sportsnet, the Mitzoff podcast will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the Oilers' 1-0 win last night in Los Angeles against the Kings. Because you know why?
Why?
The Oilers can play any game they want to. You want to have a low-scoring 1-0 game where they only score one goal and barely hang on to win because Skinner stands on his head? They can play that game.
Listen, we can win a 33-13 shot game. That's no problem.
It's the dumbest thing I ever hear. Yeah, because the Oilers purposely wanted to play such a tight, low-scoring game. Actually, we would have preferred to win 4-0, to be honest with you.
It wasn't even that tight. It was pretty lopsided for the LA Kings.
And again, where do the Kings go
for? And how was Stuart Skinner not the first star? Don't know, but whatever.
Who was?
Bouchard.
Why? Because he scored the one goal on the power play?
Yeah.
Oh. It was a Bouch bomb.
Ugh.
Love a Bouch bomb.
Yeah.
I'm very partial to Bouch bombs.
So watching the Jets get caved in the second period in Denver yesterday, I had a thought. I had an epiphany. I'm like, I wonder who's been worse so far in these Stanley Cup playoffs. Connor Hellebuck, the guy who's going to win the Vezina Trophy as the best goaltender. Mm. And I thought about Matty saying, hey, look at all the teams with the Vezina Trophy winner. Not too many of them are Stanley Cup champions.
It's like four out of the last 45.
Yeah. Connor Hellebuck, the supposed best goaltender in the NHL, has coughed up 19 goals in 8 periods of hockey. Is some of that on him? Yeah. Is some of that on his team? Well, yeah. But for a guy who's supposed to be the best goalie in the world and will win the Vezina Trophy, you got to steal at least one game, right? And the game they did win, they won 7-6. And who had, after game one, Georgiev outplaying Hellebuck in this series? Because he has, which is shocking. And a lot of that is what the Avalanche are doing, and the Jets are having a hard time with their speed. I get all of that. But Hellebuck hasn't been good. He just hasn't. And he hasn't been good in what, the last two playoff runs?
He hasn't been good since 2018.
In the postseason.
Yeah.
Like, the one I really look at is game three, where...
The third period, where they just completely lost it.
Yeah, and the Jets were in that game.
They were up 2-1.
Like, they were up 2-1.
Heading to the third.
They had all the chances were pretty even in that game. They were getting to the house, if you want to call it that, in the offensive zone. Like, they were actually getting pucks to the middle of the ice to help create some of their chances. They only end up with the two goals. There were some egregious turnovers late in that game that led to some kind of odd man rushes. Like, we can rip on Connor Hellebuck all we want. I just think that there's a lot to handle with that Avalanche team once they turn it up a notch. And the Jets are learning that really fast. Like, this is also a situation where you have two, if not more, superstars for the Avalanche on the ice for probably a half hour of every game.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I really like the Jets, they have a collection of very good players. They don't have that Makar that's going to go end to end, get that third goal like he got yesterday, which ended up being a very important one in the second period there. They don't have someone that can do that. And I love Josh Morrissey. Love him. But it's not that player. There aren't many guys like that.
No.
But it's just one of those things where... You can have the best goalie in the NHL, but if you bring him into a series and he's not comfortable and the pressure gets to him and all of a sudden the other guys start feeling confident, they maybe expose something that the goaltender's not good at and all of a sudden he's thinking about it and it just takes away everything from his game. He also just played a lot. Yeah. Like, I wonder, the next time we see a Vezina winner actually win the Stanley Cup, does he make sub-50 starts? Like, do we get to a point where insane. A Vezina goaltender can win it without with 50
NHL
starts?
Feels like it's
with
headed.
45 starts? Mm-hmm. Because the way that the NHL is played nowadays with how fast it is, I think the goalies have to be in way better shape. They're getting more injured than they usually have. And I just don't know if it's going to be possible for a Vezina caliber goaltender to go deep in the playoffs while playing the amount of games that you have to play to win the Vezina, which is like 60 plus right now.
Yeah, and you're right about the Avalanche superstars are playing like superstars. And the Jets have one superstar, and he's a net. And he is just not. You got to steal one game. That's all I'm saying. Steal one game, and maybe that's the game Friday night, Patrick. Shut it down in the third period, get a massive win in Denver. Let's have this thing 2-2 back to Winnipeg. Mm-hmm.
And it creates such an interesting conversation. Like, I know your initial conversation was about Marner or Hellebuck,
I think
the proper answer is Marner. But I want to one more thing on Hellebuck here, because so much time we talk about what is the right amount to spend on goalies, how to properly deploy your goaltenders nowadays in the NHL, and there's many different ways to do it, like the Jets did. Hellebuck and Brassois, a 1 and a 2. Like the Bruins did, a 1A and a 1B, both very good players. You spend a little bit more money that way, but you like what you have between the pipes. I just wonder how GMs still look at netminders, because going into the series, who would you have rather had? Hellebuck or Georgiev?
Yeah.
But such a fickle position, right?
It absolutely
is. It's the same thing with Bobrovsky. Like, at any moment, he could turn back into a pumpkin. And he could just be an average goaltender, because we've seen that from him before.
Yeah, but not in the last two playoff rounds.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Like,
but at the same time, every time I'm watching him.
Yeah.
Like, right?
But that's also a guy who's won a Vezina trophy, too, right?
When was it?
But still, it's true. It's still there.
Yeah,
and he's also gotten his team to the Stanley Cup final.
Yes. No, right? but my point is more along the lines of they're so hard to predict.
Right.
And who would you, like, all day, going into the playoffs, if you ask the 16 GMs that were going into the playoffs, which goaltender would you like to have for a Game 7, how many of them would have said Hellebuck?
Mm-hmm.
Most of them, probably, especially when you look at some of the tandems that we've seen in the playoffs so far this year.
Sure.
It's one of the most fascinating things to me is the goalies market, how they're valued versus their impact on a game.
And it's incredible that Dave Riddick, I heard this last night, and I couldn't believe it, is the 24th different goaltender already to play in the Stanley Cup playoffs, which is mind-blowing.
Like, you start going through some of the teams, right? And Dallas had Ottinger, that was a lock. Winnipeg had Hellebuck, that was a lock. Demko was, then he got hurt. Saros was. Apart from that, three other teams in the West with Thompson in Vegas, with Skinner in Edmonton, and with Talbot in LA, I felt like any of those could have changed. Obviously, Skinner's been one of the best of the bunch so far. And then out east, it's, you know, roll the dice. You got Bob, you've got Vassy, and then the rest, apart from Shesterkin and I guess Anderson.
Yeah. And if the Bruins don't go with their rotating goalie thing they've been doing for half the year, they probably sweep away the Maple Leafs. Who
probably
knows? Because Swayman's been the best goaltender in the postseason. Right now. So I asked a poll question this yesterday. Who's been worse so far in these playoffs? A little harsh, but here we are. Mitch Marner or Connor Hellebuck? Almost 300 votes. The people say Mitch Marner at 60.9%. You said it's Marner. Which way did you vote, Patrick?
Oh, I voted Marner.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I just watching that game on Saturday, and I'm like reading William Nylander's lips.
This isn't junior hockey.
If this isn't effing junior hockey. Grow up. Mitch Marner makes the $10 million. He needs to be right up there with Matthews and pulling his weight. That's a $10 million player. He's got to go. It's not all on the goalie. It could have been 21-0 yesterday if it wasn't Hellebuck in net there. It was super bad at points. Like, this is a team that for the second year in a row has just. Like last year, whatever, they're wild card 2, 5 games, whatever. They didn't have Scheifele for the final 4. This one, it is a little bit surprising because it felt like things were different. The team throughout the regular season, they were really tough defensively. It just felt like it was going to be tougher for teams to score no matter who it was. But just come playoffs, it doesn't matter. If you got superstars, they're going to elevate, and chances 9 times out of 10, they're going to beat you nowadays.
And they
hockey.
Own the Avalanche during the regular
like really,
season.
Yeah, exactly. You go back, it's 06, it's 28-19. Those are the two teams, the Hurricanes and the Blues, in the last 20 years or in this salary cap era of hockey, where it's like they had a, you know, I guess the Kings to a lesser extent, but nowadays you need a GOAT. You need a star.
Well, the guy for the Blues was O'Reilly, obviously, and Petrangelo.
But like, you don't think of Ryan O'Reilly as one of the greats in the game. Like, same with Tarasenko. Unreal. You don't think of them as top 10 players in the league right now. The NHL is going to be trending, and I think, towards that level of superstars are going to start winning more.
The Blues are much more of the irregularity rather than the norm.
Yeah. Of course.
Right? Like, and it's hockey. It's random. Every once in a while, there's going to be something that slashes a trend and breaks your narrative. Sure. Like, for me, with them, too, like, one of the things Patty mentioned before we started the show is just the speed of the Avalanche is just too much to handle, right? And I loved adding Monahan, and I loved adding Toffoli, but those guys don't have boots.
No.
It's not what they do well. And a
lot
of the
problems... for Toffoli's goal on Friday, both of them in kind of
because they
suspect.
Can't keep up in the series.
Exactly.
Like, if you want to talk about them going up against more of a plotting team...
Feels like, yeah.
They would have had a better chance.
Dallas.
But even then, you look around the West, it's like, well, the Oilers aren't slow.
No.
The Canucks aren't slow. Vegas plays, they can. They can kind of slow
Vegas
down
Vegas can play
bit.
Whatever
Mark,
you want.
Mark Stone just lumbers around and does whatever he wants. Yep. So,
GVP, which way did you vote?
Mitch Marner.
Okay. You're in the majority of people saying, why Mitch Marner?
Well, if you're looking at this Leafs squad, if you want to compare them to the Oilers, they are a top-heavy type of team that need to be a star-driven, offensive-type team. And Mitch Marner is just... simply floundered. If he's making the big money, if he's making the $10.5 million or whatever his contract is, he needs to be a driver of play, as similar to some of the other players we're seeing with McDavid and McKinnon, McCarr, etc. He needs to be a lot better. Like last year, it felt like the Leafs did a better job of dealing with adversity in that first round. They got schlacked in game one against Tampa, and they were able to, you know, grind out that series. He had 14 points in the playoffs last year, and he's just been a ghost. I think it's easy to say Marner was the worst player. You're also asking more out of Hellebuck. Like you said, you're asking for him to steal games.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with Marner, like you just need him to show
he
up
needs
and
to
be
contribute.
Relevant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He doesn't have to have 10 points in four games, a la 97 up the road, but he can't have 2 and 4.
Right.
Yep. He has to be a bigger impact than that. Like, you've got Ryan Nugent Hopkins has 4 points in four games. Get there.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a high bar to hit.
Well, it's also how he's playing, how he's competing or lack thereof.
Well, and it's right? it's the same thing that everyone knocked on Johnny was here when he was in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He's not big enough. It gets meaner. It's snarlier. You don't have room to dance. Like, a lot of these guys, they survive on having space to work. They right. thrive in it. And there's none of that in the playoffs. Everybody's checking you. Everybody's on you. Because if you don't, your coach is going to reach up in the press box and grab another hungry dude out of there and throw him in your lineup.
And that's the thing with... And I think it's just funny
Ryan
because...
Ryan Reeves excluded.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I'm glad you mentioned that because there's a couple things I want to get into. Number one, I just think it's funny that Mitch Marner's always the scapegoat now for the Leafs' inadequacies in the playoffs when the roster's always been flawed. Like, Austin Matthews plays one incredible game in this series, and I know he was sick in game four because they didn't even play in the third period.
He's sick
with
still.
Illness. But even last season, he was a ghost against the Panthers. He didn't score a goal.
Mm-hmm.
And no, it's Mitch Marner's fault. They can't
Who
do
cares
any-
about
no, no.
last year?
No, no. But,
this
but-
year...
Okay, no.
It's his fault. It's mostly his fault.
But no, but again, it's always like, it's always pointing the finger at something when there's way too many, way more issues than just Mitch Marner. Their special teams is terrible. They can't kill a penalty.
And 16 helps that a lot because he's one of their killers and he's one of their power play guys. If he was better,
and they can't win on home ice, they can't get a save. The goaltending stinks. The goaltending was never good enough ending into the playoffs. It never was.
But all of these things have held up. Their goaltending has been fine.
In the regular season. Yes, in the regular season.
In the postseason, it's been fine. It hasn't been their undoing.
Sure.
Has there been a game that Samsonov
has
thrown away?
Years past.
But fine.
Yeah.
What about this year?
No, but this is all the same song and dance, Maddie. That's the problem. It's the same issues year after year. The bottom six just isn't good enough. And Reeves is a signing that nobody liked right away. They want to get tougher. gives that egregious turnover, and that first goal is just a backbreaker right away.
So who do you delete from your core four? Because to improve your bottom six, and, what do? You stop spending money up top.
Sure.
And you have to move it around.
And real quick, the captain's given them nothing, too. A guy's making
$11 million. Players in their playoffs, honestly. He's been better than Mitch Marner in the playoffs.
Maybe this season, but as a whole,
I don't care about years past. Sure. Right now, this year is their year to win because their window is closing.
Right, but all of that matters based on playoffs from past. They're just this same group isn't learning the same lessons they have from getting knocked out of the playoffs year after year. I don't think Sheldon Keefe survives. I don't think there's any way Sheldon Keefe survives this.
Not a chance.
Nope.
So back to the whole Mitch Marner conversation, right? Everyone's so quick to trade Mitch Marner. First of all, he's got a no move. So he'd have to approve any deal. Maybe he wants to get out now. Maybe that's a thing. But where would Mitch Marner go? And would he even waive to come to Calgary? Would he?
Oh, my God.
Would he even waive?
Oh, man.
Would he waive?
What is Calgary giving up in that return?
I got it.
Jeez.
I got it.
I thought you were gonna be like, why did you just do Hellebuck Marner stuff?
No. Listen,
the first half, bro.
Listen. I got it.
I was thinking Hellebuck Marner swap.
No. No.
Oh my God.
But then this.
No, I got it. I got it because I thought about it. I got it. Markstrom and Anderson.
That's not even close.
Brad Click.
See ya.
And other stuff.
What?
Other stuff. Why?
Other stuff. There's no top prospects in this organization.
No, they can't get top prospects. They need players to help them out now.
One year of Jake Markstrom is not going to get them over the hump.
He's got 2 years.
He's got 1 year after this.
No,
I think we start.
2 years. Sorry.
I think we start looking at teams that are reasonable. Vegas.
Nashville. Okay, hold on. Vegas is a team that. They could probably make it work. I don't even know how.
They're gonna get figured out. Saros? Right.
I heard like Clayton Keller's name that's thrown around. Okay. That's not good enough for Mitch Marner.
How about
But Clayton Arizona's Keller, got other things.
How about Clayton Keller and 9 second round picks?
Like, is that draft day in the movie Draft Day with Kevin Costner?
He didn't trade him. Nobody went to his birthday.
You know, Cody Eakin got traded for like 14 things when he was in the CHL.
You know, did he really?
Yeah, like one of the biggest trades we've ever seen.
Taves got traded for 2 second round picks, which was the steal of all steals.
In the O?
No, like in the NHL when the Islanders got 2 second rounds for.
Oh, Devon Taves.
Yeah.
I was
not
thinking
Jonathan.
Jonathan.
Cody Eakin trade. It was for Christian Magnus, Ryan Bloom, Jarrett Zehntner, Colby Caves, Steven Milan, 3 picks ranging from 2011 to 2012.
Okay, 8 things.
That's still a lot for one player.
One yeah, but that's
junior hockey.
Yeah.
So fun.
But I was thinking about it. I'm like, I don't think he would come here.
No.
Can't win a cup.
No.
Does he want to play in a Canadian market again? Probably not.
And frankly, it's more of the same players.
Would the Kings make sense too? They need somebody to score.
They got too many big contracts, though.
Like, where does he go? And everybody
Tampa.
Wants to trade him, but where does he go?
Tampa.
For what?
I don't know. Who cares? Figure it out. Stamkos. Like, I'm more worried about the money. How do you make the money work? That's what I'm thinking. If you're going to make a trade for a guy like Mitch Marner, you figure it out. You find the assets. Because there's only a certain amount of people that are going to be able to do that. I don't know. This entire thing seems bananas.
Like, what does that trade even look like? Like,
to where? To
exactly.
Anywhere?
Like, yeah, where does he go?
And Arizona, but Salt Lake feels like a nice little spot because they want to. Utah, they've got the capital to start moving. They want to be active now that they've got, they're into Salt Lake City.
Here's also the question I want to ask. And Utah, again, like what? Clayton Keller would be the centerpiece.
But I don't know. I think Clayton Keller's their future captain. I don't think they want to move him.
I also think those players are very similar.
Do you think Brad Treliving is the right guy to make that deal? If you're a Leaf fan, would you be nervous about that?
Nope. I like when he makes trades.
They're fun.
I don't like when he I don't like when he hits the free agency market.
Yeah, that's where he gets in trouble.
But if
well,
he's
because
gonna,
obviously
but if he's
some of the free agent
deal,
signings,
there's never been a good one. Well, Yuri Hudler. Hudler is what I think was his best. Look,
the Domi signing was a good one because he took a lot less to play for the
league. But again, we'll see how far that gets them. Probably sure. Out tomorrow.
And that was also a bargain bin hunting because he couldn't get money anywhere else. That's also not necessarily on Brad.
For like a signing of a player that's more Domi done the most for him?
It's more just being the Leafs.
Yuri Hudler, probably. Anything.
Like, here's the other thing that I would say. Like, the Huberto trade, that's a great deal.
Hell yeah.
Especially if Huberto plays that year instead of signing it at 10.5. And then he gets an actual number that's a little bit more fair in that year after.
That was the problem. He signed him too early. That was the thing there.
And that's essentially a free agent signing.
Yeah.
You've never had the guy in your room. You've never really got to talk to him.
He went to dinner with him, so that was all he needed to hear.
I'm sure you could do that at free agency, too.
All he needed to do.
You just have to do it without being seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just keep thinking about Markstrom in a Leaf jersey. Maybe Anderson in a Leaf jersey.
I still think that you need more.
But why would he come here?
Exactly. Like, offense, he wouldn't wave.
Canadian market.
He goes from a team that's a contender to a team that's going to be retooling here, rebuilding for a little bit. Just wouldn't make any sense.
Throwing Kadri, maybe. I don't know.
Now you're just throwing names out here for the hell of it. Huberto.
Yeah. No, I saw a rumor.
That money works.
Laughing. I saw again such clickbait. The Habs are interested in Huberto. No, they're not.
Maybe they are.
Maybe they are.
Thank God the Habs weren't interested in Pierre-Luc Dubois enough. That's where he that's wanted fair. To go. But yeah, because he's French Canadian doesn't necessarily mean he's going to play for Montreal.
I think it's important that he goes to Montreal.
Yeah,
that would be good.
Maybe Mitch Marner just needs a new start.
In Calgary, in Cowtown.
Maybe.
Just that simple.
Get him in some crap kickers. And
he has 1 year left on his deal, right?
Yeah.
And then he has to sign an extension.
Same with John Tavares.
Well, all
of a sudden you get $22 million of space that you can spend. Because
John Tavares,
fill out the rest
I would
of your
imagine,
roster.
Stays for like the Jason Spezza deal where it's like way less.
The Geo deal?
Yeah. Where he's going to get like $1.5 million, $2 million to play for the Leafs.
Gio would have got like two on the open market. You signed in Toronto at $800K.
Yeah. The Oilers can play any way they want. Any way they want. That's what they were talking about last night.
Yeah.
Because they want to get outplayed, but they can still win 1-0 because that's the way they want to play. Talked to Lou Gazdick about that. Our intern, Gregor, at 8:30-ish. Is going to get Maddie excited for the 2024 Paris Olympics, which is 88 days away, in honor of Donovan Bailey coming in studio tomorrow.
Looking forward to that.
He has 30 seconds to get you pumped up. And we've given him free creative control.
I'm excited to see what he comes up with. Better be good.
Oh, Greg, are you feeling the pressure? As he scrambles.
His mic's not on over there.
That's on me.
He's figuring it out.
You're feeling the pressure?
Yeah, it's a lot riding on here. I mean,
what's riding on it? You're going to do it again tomorrow.
Oh, that's a good point. Okay, I won't go all in on this
We're going to do it every day this week.
Okay.
But you got to think of new stuff to get Maddie excited for every day.
Okay, I might change it up here a little bit then. I think I know what Maddie likes, so.
Really? No. That's interesting.
Surfing? The laser radial?
Surfing the thing in the Olympics?
Pistol? It?
No, it's not.
Pistol? The laser radial is sailing.
I gave him an Olympic debut event that might get Maddie excited.
Bridge?
No.
Did bridge make it finally?
Breakdancing?
Ballroom dancing? Did that finally make it? Ballroom dancing was supposed to be. Cribbage?
Breakdancing.
Cribbage was a sport they wanted to add in the Olympics, too. Cribbage.
Canadians would dominate. Dominate at cribbage.
Okay.
Newfoundland would be good.
Oh, they just have the whole thing out there.
Gregor, please. All right, Luke Gazdick. It's a big show. Russick and Rose, 960 The Fan.